way in the front of the Babu. Genesis 6. It is mortally impossible to deliver like a message to dozens of people knowing what everybody needs. And so I do ask an immortal God what he wants me to preach for you every Sunday morning. And amazingly, the Lord answers the prayer every time. And sometimes it's like the Lord answers it right after I pray. I say something like, Lord, I'm empty, got nothing to say, which is, you know, pretty easy for us when we want to get into our nothing box, you know. And a couple weeks ago, I said, Lord, I'm empty, got nothing to say. What do you want me to say? And he just said 2012. I said, okay, I gotcha. And what I do is I keep track of all my messages. And so 2012, there are 50. And so I scroll down through there. I don't remember what I preached last week, let alone 2012. And it was right there, and the Lord said, that one. I said, okay. And so that's what I follow, what the Lord gives. I don't call some headquarters somewhere or someplace to ask. And, I mean, because we all have different upbringings, different circumstances in life, different levels of growth, different personalities. We think differently. And this is almost like a smorgasbord where you take what you need. And so this week, I think it was Thursday or Friday, I think, Lord, I got nothing. He said, talk about me. So we're going to talk about him. And so that's where we're going this morning. And I'm always amazed with the Lord. And so in Genesis 6, you ever hear a saying, things come in three? You ever hear that saying? Good or bad, things usually come in three. A lot of times we get these sayings from the Bible and we don't realize it. So in Genesis 6, verse 10, if we would, let's go ahead and pray first. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand more about thee as we look at some ideas from your word. Help us to be able to walk out here drawing closer to thee as a result of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Genesis 6, 10, and Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Okay, and I didn't have a problem with that Japheth until my son-in-law's name is Japheth. And so now when I see that, I always want to say Japheth, but it's got the H in there. Japheth was the oldest, Ham was the youngest, okay, and basically those three boys, evidently that was all that he had, but three is a very significant number. And it says the earth was corrupt before God, and earth was filled with violence, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all the flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. Man, that wasn't even 1,700 years from Adam and Eve. Man, they didn't waste any time, did they? And then God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in it, in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without the pitch, or with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth 50, and the height 3 cubits. Notice the three dimensions there. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof with lower, second, and third story shalt thou make it. So we got three there. And so we're going to go other places. Now those three boys, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, if you go to chapter 9, Now, Americans used to teach this maybe up to the 60s and 70s, and after the 70s, this become racist, so we're going to get racist this morning. And so these are your three basic races. This is where they come from. Okay, several years ago down at Purdue, I had a kid. It was a, you know, young kids, they tend to be smart alecks, and it's kind of funny sometimes when they are. And he mockingly said to me, "I suppose you think all these people in the world came from two people." And since he said it that way, I thought I would come back to him the same way. And I said, "I suppose you think all these people came from a sexless amoeba." Because that's what they have to believe. Man, I think mine's a little more logical and scientific than his. And, of course, he walked off. Okay, after that. Okay, but three is a very significant thing. And we see it right here, where Noah had three boys. And in chapter 9, verse 16... I'm sorry, 19, chapter 9, 19. "These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread." So actually all the people in this world came from six people. You know, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, you know, and their descendants. Now basically, and this is going back to those days, Shem became the Oriental race. Ham went down to Egypt, and that would be the African race, and Japheth would be the Caucasian or the European. Now, that's the simplistically of it then. Now, today, we're probably all mutts anyway, you know, but still, that's the three basic. And it's amazing if you look at these as far as historically, Japheth, okay, that would be the Caucasian race. That's the one where he said shall enlarge himself. If you get the World Book Encyclopedia and look up the word explorer and run down through there, every one of them would be Caucasians. Every single one of them. Because that's what he said is going to happen. Now, the Lord Jesus came from the lineage of Shem. That would be the Oriental race. That would be the Middle Easterns. And so when you get in Israel and the Middle Eastern, you have a combination of everything coming in there. But then the further they spread out, the more they become, you know, as far as their race goes. Now, that's just what the book says. Okay, but still, the idea I'm looking at this morning is the number three. Okay, the number three, as far as the Bible goes, there's a Latin phrase that goes omni trium perfectum, and that's translated into English to mean everything that comes in threes is perfect. Now, where'd that idea come from? Nikola Tesla had a formula called 369, and with vortex math, he thought that that was a key to the universe. Adam had three sons by name. Now, Adam had more sons, but three by name. Cain, Abel, and Seth. How long did Cain dislike his brother? As long as he was Abel. So you got to think on that for a while. Okay, and so three is the perfect number, and it's significant in life. The ark had three stories with three dimensions. Okay, and your three sons of Noah became the three basic races, which is black, brown, and white. Okay, and so that's how it started off. But we can run a bunch of threes. There's a fellow years ago, a Lutheran man, wrote a book on threes. I've never been able to locate it, so I had to kind of come up with a list myself. When you think of God and his power, we have omnipresence, omniscience, omnipotent. Omnipresence is all everywhere. Omniscience is all-knowing. Omnipotent is all-powerful. That's the three attributes often with God. In Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. What did God create? He created time, space, and matter. Three, time is past, present, future. Space is height, width, depth. And then matter is gaseous, liquid, and solid. Three. A clock has three hands on it. You have birth, life, and death. You have a body, soul, and spirit. Okay? The psychologists say you have an id, ego, and superego. Id, I think, is just short for idiot, maybe. I'm not sure. But id, ego, superego. You have morning, noon, and night. You have breakfast, dinner, and supper. Now, that's how farmers say it, breakfast, dinner, and supper. Everybody else says breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But farmers more biblical because you have the marriage supper of the lamb, so if you want to get that right. So you got those threes. There are three lights, sun, moon, and stars. A family is a father, a mother, and a child. Okay, make sure we get that right. In Indiana, I saw this special where he was a she and she was a he, and they got married, and he who was a she had a baby for he that was a she or she that was a he. Man, try to figure that out. Can you imagine that child growing up into that? Absolutely confused. Just totally confused. But threes, an atom has a proton, neurons, and electrons. Dimensions, you have width, length, height. You got beginning, middle, end. Music is melody, harmony, and rhythm. When it's in the right form, the devil will switch it and put rhythm, harmony, and melody. Okay, but that's what it says in Ephesians, making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's what spirit fullness does. Okay, in food you have carbohydrates, proteins, fats. You got sizes, small, medium, and large, but now you got extra large, extra large, extra, extra, extra large, extra, 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 extra large. That's called weight challenged. Okay, and so, you just got a bunch of stuff. Blood vessels, you got arteries, veins, capillaries. Pregnancy, first trimester, second trimester, third trimester. The threes are just everywhere. You have primary colors, three. You got secondary colors, three. You got three lights and a stoplight. Okay, green means go, yellow means speed up, and then stop. Red means stop. You know, we know that's how that works. Okay, I mean, three's everywhere. Your body is made up of electromagnetism, as the earth is, okay, where an electrician will have a positive and a negative and then a neutral. And so with your hands, you have energy where this is your double positives, this is your double negatives, and this is neutral. And you can use these energies in your hands to, everybody here taking the health classes know that you can use this energy to move muscle, tendons, and so forth, so on, draw energy to that place for healing. That's everywhere. The answers that parents have is yes, no, and maybe. Maybe usually means no. Okay, you have blood, sweat, and tears. You have an egg, you got the shell, the white, the yolk. Stories that we tell children. Three little pigs. Three blind mice. You've got Goldilocks and the three bears. You've got the three musketeers. You got three wishes. You know, if you rub the genie, comes out. I always know what I'm going to do. I'll wish one, two, and the third one. I said, I wish for five more wishes. You always keep that out there. Make three wishes. And, of course, we got the heroes of the faith, the three stooges. But you got a three-ring circus. You find a three-ring circus on Christian television, usually. But threes are everywhere. Ready, set, go. Stop, look, and listen. Stop, look, and listen. In Australia, when we go to Australia, a lot of times Americans get hit on the road because we are used to looking this way and this way. In Australia, you got to look this way and this way. Because a lot of Americans will be crossing over, looking this way, and all of a sudden, they become a speed bump. Because they're on the other side of the road over there. And boy, that's tough to do. When I happen to be driving, you know, there are turn signals on this side. Ours are windshield wipers, and ours turn signal on this side. And I'm always hitting the windshield wipers. So that usually the first rider for a child is a tricycle. What do they say in realty? What's the key in realty world? Location, location, location. Why did they say it three times? And so we got this everywhere. Third time's a charm. Paper, rock, scissors. Three goals make a hat trick. Three strikes and you're out. Three Olympic medals. Thomas Jefferson summarized the goal in America, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. You have hope, faith, hope, charity, three. It's all over. Everywhere we go, three's the perfect number, I suppose. Moses was hid 3 months. Jewish men were required to travel three times to Jerusalem every year. Job had three friends that, with friends like that, who needs enemies? There were three men, and Ezekiel said that if they prayed during that day, they would only deliver themselves, and that would have been Noah, Daniel, and Job. Three men bound in a fiery furnace. Daniel prayed three times in a day. There were three wise men that came to Jesus and brought three types of gifts. Jesus divided the Old Testament into three sections: the law, the writings, and the prophets. Three were crucified at the third hour of the day. And the middle one is the one that saves. There are three languages written that day, and I think it's 3 days and three nights. And there's a bunch more threes. We could go on and on and on. How about the Godhead? Is it any wonder? See, now, Jewish people don't understand this idea because of the limitation of what they were taught. Okay, and so if you would go to Genesis 1:26, we have an advantage of hindsight plus more time plus more revelation of God. Jewish people tend to think that Christians are polytheist because you believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And the reason why they believe that is because in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, when God revealed himself to Israel, he said, "The Lord our God is one Lord." And it's always uppercase letters, L-O-R-D. That is the number one name found in the Bible, and that's the name of the Father, and it's the name of the Son, it's the name of the Holy Ghost. But what about the distinctions? Okay, and in Genesis 1:29, we have an advantage of hindsight, or Genesis 1:26, where the Lord said, before he created Adam, okay, God said, "Let us make man in our image." That's a plurality. Okay, now Jewish people, they read that and it just doesn't hit them. Now, in Hebrew, I'm sure it's probably Elohim, which they say is a plural, but what does that mean? "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. So God is a tripart being, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And hence, when he created Adam, he has a body, soul, and a spirit. When the soul leaves the body, that's what we call death. When the body leaves the soul. Okay, in Genesis 15, this lady was giving birth to a child. Rachel was giving birth to a little boy named Benjamin. They called him Benjamin. And it says her soul was in departing. So her soul is leaving her body. That's what's called death. In James 2:26, it says, "And the body without the spirit is dead." So that's when the spirit leaves the body. So when the soul and spirit leave the body, some folks, God allows them to kind of look back down. Some folks have had surgery where their soul hovered above the surgeon and asked them questions. Why were you doing that? What are you talking about? Well, I was watching. That's when the soul and spirit. And the Bible uses the word departure. So when you go to O'Hare, there's an arrival gate and a departure gate. And if you go to the arrival gate, which you can't do that anymore now, you used to be able to go to the gate when you were kids. Okay, but if you go to the arrival gate, you will see tears of joy. When you go to the departure gate, you see tears of sorrow. So when my father passed away in November 30, and then his sister passed away in December 30, last week, a few days ago, here we have tears of sorrow because that's the departure gate. Tears of joy at the arrival gate. It's not that far away. I get great comfort out of that. Okay, but I use the word Godhead. There's a common word that we often hear called Trinity. Now, that might surprise you. Trinity is not found in the Bible at all. And Trinity is a man-made word trying to describe a Bible concept or doctrine. Now, some folks frown upon that. Okay, and if you're in a discussion with somebody like this, and if they frown upon Trinity, use the Bible word, which is Godhead, and guess how many times it's found in the Bible? A tray. Three times. The Bible is a fascinating book. Okay, and so Godhead is found three times in the Bible. Okay, and Trinity is trying to describe the Godhead, triunity, three in one. I had a young man down at Purdue, he was trying to ask me to explain the Godhead. He said, I want you to give me an illustration. I said, oh, you're asking for an illustration for the Trinity? He said, yeah. I said, okay, tell me. One times one times one equal. And he said, I don't like that illustration. Well, I just gave you an illustration. One times one times one is still one. And he didn't think I was going to come up with an illustration. When I gave it to him, he frowned on it. So why? Because don't confuse me with the facts. I got my mind made up. So the same with the word rapture. Rapture is a man-made word describing what the Bible calls first resurrection or translation. Okay, this concept's here. Now, the word purgatory is a man-made word, but it has no validation at all in the Bible. None whatsoever, purgatory. The word Bible is not found in the Bible. The word Bible is a Latin word, Biblia, which means the books, because the Bible has a bunch of books inside of it. But the word Bible is a man-made word that describes the Holy Scriptures. So there's no problem with the word Trinity, but some folks really have a problem with it. And if you've ever had to deal with something like that, you know, I kind of make it a game, you know, as far as that goes. So I will use the word Godhead. But so how do we understand this mystery of God? Here we are, mortal people, trying to understand an immortal God. He's outside of time, yet he created time. He stays outside of time, but yet he deals with you and I. So how do we understand this? You see, when Jesus showed up, he said, I am the Son of God. Now, people will say, Jesus never said he was God. Directly, never said that. Okay, fine. So I'm the Son of God. And the Jews understood what he meant when he said that. Now, if they're not going to take Jesus' word for it, so if I walk around and say, I'm God, you know, people could just say, like that. Now, if somebody else says he's God, you might think about them. But what about God the Father when he calls Jesus Christ his Son God? How about that testimony? We find that in Hebrews 1, verse 8. So, but there's an idea, and you might surprise you. If you would go to John 14, I'm going to work on the idea of what the Godhead is not. Okay, a lot of times people will use an illustration trying to describe God. Sometimes, have you heard anybody say describing God, he's like water, where water has it comes in three forms. You could have it in vapor, you can have it in liquid, you could have it in solid, okay? But that's still not really describing God. Or you could say God's like an egg, you know, where he's got the shell, the yolk, and the white. But that's still, putting God in three forms is not the answer. The technical term of this is called modalism, okay, where God is in one form in the Old Testament. He's in another form when Jesus on earth, and then Jesus introduced the Holy Ghost, and that's another form. No, they're three in one. Now, if you go to John 14, now you might be surprised. There's some churches that are called Jesus One. I call them Jesus Oneness churches. Okay, usually these are what are called Church of Christ. I debated some guy years ago about this. This was about H2O and baptism and all that stuff. And so these people teach that you have to be placed in H2O in order to go to heaven. But it has to be their H2O. They have a magical charge in their church where that water is specialized. And so it can wash away your sins. That's what they teach. But if we do it in here, how can we wash away our sins? The sins would be in the pool in there. And then when you come out, their sins are in your towel. Then we got to wash the towel. I mean, in that case, you got to get baptized in a river, but yet it goes downstream. But yet you don't want to wash, you know, get baptized in a yellow river because a moose was upstream. And that's dangerous. Okay, and so... when I baptize somebody, I place them down, I say, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but that's not good enough for these people. It has to be water in their horse tank, and you have to say Jesus Christ. Okay, and so the first time I came across these people was about 1988, and I'm trying to figure this out, and I asked this guy, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? And he said, yes. I said, how do you know? And he said, Acts 2:38, Acts 22:16, and 1 Peter. I said, hold the phone. Let me write these things down. And every single verse was talking about water baptism. Every one of them. And then I discovered that this guy did not believe in the Godhead or the Trinity. In our hymn book, on page 70, in both of them, there's the hymn of Holy, 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 and then we in the chorus is a Blessed Trinity. These folks wouldn't sing that. Jehovah's Witnesses wouldn't sing that. They don't believe in that. Okay, and that's a sad, very sad thing. Why is that? Okay, John 14 is a place they would go. And I know a Baptist guy in the Northeast that goes to this place, and this is life or death for this fella. And John 14, 8, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Okay, show us the Father. I want to see the Father, the Holy Father. I want to see the Father. Okay, and so on Friday when I went to my aunt's funeral, I saw my cousin, and I called him by his dad's name. Oh, how you doing, Uncle Junior? Because he just looks like my Uncle Junior. And I said, I laughed, and you probably called me Uncle Marty. You know, and that illustration wouldn't work for these folks because verse 9, it says this, Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Now, if you stop right there, you would tend to think, oh, maybe they're right. Maybe Jesus is the Father. Maybe the Father is Jesus. Maybe it's back and forth. And when this fellow believed this, here's what I did. I said, it was like the Spirit of God. And if you got a tutor with you everywhere you go, if you're born again, the author of the Bible, and he'll throw up a warning flag. And then he'll say something like, when I heard this read, I thought, okay, maybe. But you know, when you take text out of context, what do you have left over? You got a con. Somebody's trying to con. Now, I may not know what's right, but I know what's wrong. Okay, now in this verse, now the Spirit of God says, keep reading, son. You're going to find an answer. You just keep reading. You see, you don't shy away from the passage. You just keep reading. And if you drop down to verse 20, he says, at that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Who's the ye? He's talking to the 11 apostles. Okay, if we're going to take that thinking of verse 9 through 11, that Jesus is the Father and the Father is Jesus, then we got to go down to verse 20, and then we got to say, well, Peter is Jesus and Jesus is Peter. And whoa, how far are you going to take that? Jesus is John, John is Jesus, John is Peter, Peter is John, James is John, Peter is Bartholomew. I mean, obviously, anybody can see that there is a unity, but there is a separation too. How did this happen? If you would go to John 17. Okay, we've often heard the Lord's Prayer. People say, what's the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, which art in heaven, hell. No, that's a disciple's prayer. That's an Israeli prayer. The Lord's Prayer is John 17. This is a real prayer. Jesus is going to ask a question. He's got a request here in John 17. Starting in verse 11, we'll just look at verse 11 and 12. He says, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, that would be the apostles, and I come to thee, heaven, Holy Father. That's the only time that's found in the Bible. Jesus addressed the Father, Holy Father. If Jesus is the Father and the Father is Jesus saying to himself, Holy Father? Is he talking to himself? Now that doesn't satisfy these folks. It really doesn't. When I sat down with this man in his house where I discovered he was a Jesus oneness dude, I said, do you remember when Jesus got baptized in water? And he said, yeah. I said, okay, somebody spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved son whom I'm well pleased. Now, if he said, this is my son, that would make him the Father. Somebody spoke from heaven. Somebody was standing in the water and a spirit descended down like a dove and landed upon him. I mean, how does that work? You got Father here, Spirit coming down, Jesus here. How does that work? You know what his great answer for me was? I mean, this really helped me out. He really explained it. He said, uh-uh. I said, that's real helpful. Thank you very much. I said, is that your answer? Uh-uh. Wow, okay. That's a blessing. John 17, verse 11, the Lord Jesus addressed the Father's Holy Father. Okay, and then he says, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Oh, he's extending this beyond the apostles. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition. That's Judas, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Okay, more about this prayer, down to verse 20. He said this, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Okay, now he's extended it from the apostles to every single person who believed in Jesus Christ. You see, in verse 1, Jesus said of John 14, ye believe in God. A lot of times people say, I believe in God. Not good enough. Jesus said, ye believe in God, believe also in me. You see, and there's the key there. Now this verse says, the ones who believe in Jesus, verse 21, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now, okay, let's go back to John 14. The idea there is Jesus is the Father is Jesus. Then he said the apostles are in Jesus, so all of them, now everybody has believed. Does that mean, okay? Then here's what rises up out of this. Oh, then I'm God. Benny Hinn has said that. My words are equal. There's a guy in Rome that when he sits in a special chair thinks that his words are equal to God. But it ain't God, and I know I'm not God, but I am in God. That's a beautiful thing about it. Now, the thing, what's the Lord telling us? Okay, obviously, you have the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There's the unity, but yet there's a separation. Obviously, we have each individual, but yet there's a separation where each of us are sovereigns. But yet we're one in Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? Kind of makes the brain kind of fry, doesn't it? How could you lose that when God does all the work? That's where eternal security comes in play. They didn't have that in the Old Testament. That's New Testament idea. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. 1 John 5, verse 7, if you want to take a look at it, this is the greatest verse in the Bible in the Godhead, or the word we call Trinity. Okay? 1 John 5, 7. This is the best. Okay, I'll give you a verbatim from a new Bible, and you follow the wording. For there are three that bear record in heaven. Period. You know why the new Bibles are easy to read? It's because there's less words. The rest of the verse is missing. 1 John 5, 7. There are three that bear record in heaven. In the Holy Scriptures it says, the Father, the Word, that's an uppercase W, find that seven times in the Bible, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. The next verse is a parallel. He explains what the word one is referring to, and these three agree in one. Hence, the word Trinity is a good word. That goes along. I know there's a pagan trinity. I know all that stuff. Yeah, I understand that. But still, we try, a mortal mind trying to understand an immortal God. And the glorious thing is when a person believes in Jesus Christ, he places you in Jesus Christ and he in you. Glorious thing. It's a spiritual thing between he and you. That's a marvelous thing. You see, but yet we still retain our free will. We still retain that. We still retain one of two genders. We still retain that. Okay? But yet we're one in Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus Christ asked this request in John 17. It was answered in Acts 1. That's the first one it was answered. And then every person who gets born again since that day gets placed in Jesus Christ and cannot be let out. No matter what that person does. Now that person is still going to answer for their life, but still they're in Jesus Christ. Man, that's a glorious thing. Glorious thing. The Godhead. So, we'll work on the rest of this. I only got point one. I got six more to go, so we'll stop there and let's go and pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to see the immortal God, invisible God, immortal, the only wise God, the perfect God in three in one, three in agreement. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us to understand that idea the best way that a mortal mind can. And I pray that you'd help us to rejoice in the fact that belief in Jesus Christ, when we believe in Jesus Christ, then the Spirit of God takes over and puts us in Jesus Christ. What a blessing that is. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.